In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. So we have here today the feast of Saint Peter of Alcantara. I mentioned him last week. He was one of the spiritual directors or advisors to Teresa of Avila, from whom she learned much of what she did about prayer, and which she wrote about in her books. So that's always the way it is in the church. If we have anybody to, you know, thank for something, it's not just one person. It's many more people that were involved in giving us what we have. Because the author, of course, is God, right? Why did Teresa Avila run into Peter Alcantara? Because God wanted it to happen. She needed to know stuff so she could write it down. And here we go. We're going to hear about him. He had a pretty incredible life. He ended up being this incredible desert mystic, very much like the early desert fathers. And again, one of those saints who, as a child, just had a natural inclination towards this. He was born to noble parents in Alcantara, Spain, in 1499, and his father was a governor. He was very pious, sometimes so deep in prayer that servants would not be able to get a response from him. He received an excellent education, and by the age of 16, had graduated from the University of Salamanca. So, I mean, imagine this, a young nobleman, 1500s, your father's governor, you've got servants. And yet he was so given to prayer. Now contrast that childhood, right, with what we hear he's going to end up doing in the Franciscans, which is what he joined, right? He grew up in this life of ease and comfort, completely didn't affect him. So what did he do at 16? University of Salamanca graduate, very capable, very advanced. He joins the Franciscans immediately at 16 years old. And then after 8 years, at 22, he was sent to found a new community in a nearby city. And 3 years after that, he was ordained a priest. And he was very harsh with himself, with physical penances. He would wear a belt with iron studs turned on the inside. So they'd poke him constantly. He frequently used the discipline. And he suffered from a greater than usual sleepiness. He found himself always sleepy and just needing a tremendous amount of sleep. So he resolved to make that his particular penance. And he so overcame his sleepiness that he ended up eventually only needing 90 minutes of sleep every evening. The rest of the time he would spend in prayer. So it's... That's not usual, right? Don't try that, right? Don't try this at home. Don't try this. It's not. These saints are very unusual for those abilities. So for the next 14 years, he lives an exemplary life as a Franciscan by doing these penances and so on. And during this time, he became a very effective preacher, especially to the poor. And he says that he enjoyed preaching to the poor more than any other group. Why is that? Because they listened. They responded. They had nothing left to lose. And so when he preached about giving all for Christ, they could do it because what little they had, they would give away. And he saw the effect it had on them. So he very much enjoyed preaching to the poor and seeing that faith and devotion from them. Eventually, by the time he was 40 years old, he would be elected Superior General of the province of the Franciscans, and he immediately began to set about writing a reformed rule. The Franciscans, as we know, were founded by St. Francis to be living in a radical poverty, not owning anything, not knowing from one day to the next if they were going to even be eating and so on. So that was the original intent of the founder, but of course, as usual, by 300 years later, very lax. So Peter of Alcantara starts to write some reforms for the entire province. He met with such resistance, however, that he, despite the fact that he was elected to the position, he ended up resigning because the people were just not cooperating with his desires. And that kind of gives an indication. Many people will elect somebody to a position and then be very unhappy with what they do because they're actually serious, right? They're sincere. So he not only resigns as superior, he actually leaves the Franciscans. And this would be difficult because he had been a Franciscan since he was 16 years old, and now he's in his 40s. That was the only organization he'd ever known, the only religious organization, so he had to leave that and withdrew into a deserted place in the mountains in Spain. And there he began to live as a hermit in the strict observance of poverty as St. Francis would have wished. That was his idea. So he didn't live as a hermit very long because he was soon joined by other holy men who also wanted to imitate that way of living. And soon a small community formed, and then another community, and so on. And after 15 years, he had met with such success that he actually traveled to Rome to obtain permission for the rule of life, which he had previously drawn up for the Franciscans. His kind of his reform for the Franciscans, he goes to Rome and asks, can I found these foundations after this rule? And he leaves for Rome, he leaves Spain to Rome, and he journeys barefoot the entire way. And his constitutions were approved. And on his way back from Rome, he doesn't wait. He begins founding monasteries. And the interesting thing is, Teresa of Avila would form the Order of Carmelites Discalced, the Discalced Carmelites. She would reform that order. And many other times you have reforms of orders that become their own thing. But this is rather interesting in that Pedro of Alcantara did, I don't know what they call that, like an end run around the Franciscans. He was elected Superior General of the Franciscans. He couldn't get his reforms accepted by the Franciscans. So then he goes to Rome, and they approve the constitutions, and then he begins founding Franciscan communities, reformed communities. And what happens is the entire Franciscan province ends up absorbing those Franciscan communities, and then they begin to leaven, like leaven, they start to affect the rest. What an example. I would say that's a tremendous example of perseverance, because he didn't know that. He didn't know that, when he left the Franciscans, I mean, that was it. As far as he knew, he went into the mountains. He was going to live there the rest of his life. 15 years later, he ends up reforming the Franciscans after all. How about that, right? Wasn't what anybody expected, I'm sure, but that's how God works. And that's what God does with perseverance. We just never know what might happen. So let's see. This is also interesting. He was a contemporary with St. Francis Borgia, who also, he was a nobleman who was a consort to the king, an advisor, and so on, and himself resigned from that life of high nobility to become a priest and superior general of the Jesuits, certainly dealing himself with the need for reform. And so Francis Borgia, on seeing the success of Pedro of Alcantara with the Franciscans, writes to him and congratulates him on his efforts, saying, "Your remarkable success is a special comfort to me." So this is Pedro of Alcantara was even though he was a hermit, very well known because of his efforts, because of his abilities. And in fact, I would say the more capacity somebody has, when they withdraw, just a little bit that they do, people notice because they see that ability, they see that talent, they see that this person gave up so much to become isolated that what they do affects those around them. And so it affected St. Francis Borgia and also Teresa of Avila, as I've mentioned. And in fact, from all his time in solitude, Peter had learned about mystical prayer, and he wrote a little book. It's called A Treatise on Prayer and Meditation. And this was considered a masterpiece by the Venerable Louis of Granada, who wrote The Sinner's Guide, also Teresa of Avila, as I mentioned, and also Francis de Sales, right? All of these important writers would consider Peter of Alcantara's book, seminal, right, for their work. Now, much of what we know, the reason we know all this about Peter of Alcantara, much of it we learned from St. Teresa of Avila, is he met with her towards the end of his life, and just as he had been an inspiration to St. Francis Borgia, so he was an inspiration and a support to Teresa of Avila in reforming the Carmelites. He knew the difficulties that she faced, but he had conquered them, right? He had successfully reformed the Franciscans, so he helped her in reforming the Carmelites. So she would, in fact, when you read her works, she writes about, she'll say, like, I know a very holy person who has reached, like, the seventh mansion of prayer, etc. And she's talking about, alternately, she'll talk about Francis Borgia or Peter of Alcantara is who she writes about in her books. She doesn't call them by name, but that's who she was talking about. He would tell her some of the penances that he would do and some of the things he would do in the mountains. This is from the breviary account we have today. It says that he brought his body into bondage by unceasing watching, fasting, scourging, cold, and all manner of hardships, having made it a promise never to allow himself any rest in this world. The love of God and of his neighbor often burned so hot within his breast that he ran from his cell into the open air to cool himself. He became wrapped in meditation that frequently he neither ate nor drank for the space of several days. He was oftentimes seen to levitate, shining with a heavenly glow. He would walk across torrential streams, would multiply food for his brethren in need, and a staff which he fixed in the earth grew into a fig tree. Once while he was traveling by night in the midst of a heavy snowstorm, he took refuge in a ruined house that which the roof had completely collapsed, and the falling snow, that he might not be smothered, the falling snow made a roof over the house in which he was staying. So I mentioned also that he'd slept only 90 minutes to 2 hours each night, and this he did in a sitting position. For that reason, he's known as a patron saint of night watchmen and those who keep vigil at Eucharistic adoration. So Teresa of Avila also says that he had the gift of prophecy and of discerning the spirits. So lest we think, right, too often we think of the saints as these heroes of willpower. I'm going to will myself to become a saint. I'm going to, against all inclinations to the contrary, force myself to stay awake, to do penance, to do all these things. If you try to do that, you're going to end up a wreck. You're going to be a nervous breakdown. What the saints were able to do this is because, number one, they did it a little bit at a time. Remember, he from the time he was 16, he was a Franciscan doing these things. They took it in the proper order, but also they didn't undertake these penances out of, guilt or a sense of duty. It was love, right? And I would say the key that I mentioned, the love of God often burned so hot within him, he'd have to run out to cool himself in the air. That's how he was able to do it. It was the love of God burning within him. And that's not something that we can produce by willpower. What we can produce by willpower is a desire to be obedient to God and a desire to do what's right in front of us. What am I supposed to do? I'm going to do that. That's what we do, and I will do it, and I will do it better because I love God. That's how you make the love of God grow. That's what God rewards with more and more until finally you don't have to force yourself to do penance. You want to do penance, right? It's your desire to do these things because the love of God is so hot within us. That's what we need to be convinced of. So after 63 years of good example, on 18 October, Peter of Alcantara did pass into the next world. And in fact, he foretold the day on which he would die. And that was yesterday. The Feast of St. Luke is Peter of Alcantara died on that day. So that's why we have his feast this day. So he died even as he lived in extreme asceticism. He had a terrible thirst in his last hours, but he refused any water, saying that even our Lord thirsted on the cross, right, in his last hours. He was comforted in his last hours by a vision of the saints surrounding his bed. Teresa of Avila testifies that at the moment he died, she was, hundreds of miles away, she had a vision of his soul flying to heaven. And a short time later, she had a vision of him again, and he said to her, "Oh, what happy penances to have won for me such glory." So thus the life and death of Peter of Alcantara. We can't imitate those incredible penances of his, but we can imitate his perseverance and his docility to the will of God. Right? He never gave up, and he went wherever God indicated. And by his perseverance, he reformed the Franciscans, he inspired the Francis Borgia of the Jesuits, and he inspired Teresa of Avila to reform the Carmelites. So, right, three different orders benefited from one man, the Franciscans, the Jesuits, and the Carmelites. What an influential figure, right? What an amazing difference to the church. And it was because of his docility. He just did what God indicated him to do. He spent time in prayer. He was a Franciscan. He was a priest. He founded the new order. He just went where he was supposed to go, did what he was supposed to do, and he did it with that pure love of God. So we might not be able to do all these penances, right, but we can imitate that docility. Accept what comes to us. It's from the hand of God. Not to get upset or irritated or to try to force something in the spiritual life. Just let it happen. Let God do his thing. We be faithful in little things, and if God calls us to greater, then blessed be God. We're ready. So St. Peter of Alcantara, pray for us. God bless you all in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.